Chapter 4. The Showdown. The bank's conference room was designed to intimidate. The long, polished mahogany table reflected the cold, fluorescent lights overhead, making the space feel sterile and surgical. For Lem and Sarah, sitting on one side of this vast expanse of wood, it felt like an operating table where their last hopes were about to be dissected. Across from them, the enemy was assembled in full force. Arthur Pendleton sat in the center, the picture of corporate smugness, his tie perfectly knotted. To his right was Sly Vance, oozing a scent of cheap cologne that failed to mask his predatory nature. He was already twisting the garish gold ring on his pinky, a nervous tic that had become a symbol of his deceit. To Pendleton's left sat their lawyer, a sharp-faced man named Finch, whose briefcase was open and overflowing with threateningly thick documents. Liam's hands were clenched into fists under the table, his knuckles white. Beside him, Sarah was a statue of tension, her gaze fixed on the blank notepad in front of her, unable to look at the men who had tormented them. And at the head of their side of the table sat Marcus Thorne. He was unnervingly calm, leaning back in his chair, observing the scene with the detached curiosity of a zoologist watching primates squabble. His silence was a growing weight in Lem's stomach. Was this a mistake? Had the old lion lost his teeth? Finch cleared his throat, a dry, rasping sound. Let's not waste time, he began, his voice sharp and aggressive. My client, Mr. Vance, and the bank have convened this meeting out of generosity. You have defaulted on your loan. You have defamed a respected local businessman. You are facing financial ruin. He slid a document across the table. However, we are prepared to offer a settlement. You will sign a non-disclosure agreement, publicly retract any negative statements made about Sly Vance Construction, and sign over the deed to the land. In return, Mr. Vance will graciously drop his lawsuit, and the bank will forgive a nominal portion of your outstanding debt. You walk away, bruised but not buried. Sly Vance leaned forward, a greasy smile on his face. Think of it as a clean slate, Miller, a valuable if expensive life lesson, a character-building experience. The condescension was so thick Liam felt he could choke on it. He opened his mouth to retort, to unleash the litany of failures and deceptions he had memorized, but a subtle, almost imperceptible shake of the head from Thorne silenced him. Sarah flinched as if struck. To lose her land, their savings, and be forced to publicly apologize to the man who had defrauded them, it was a final, sadistic twist of the knife. She looked at Thorne, her eyes pleading, but the old lawyer seemed lost in thought, his gaze distant. This is a on-time offer, Pendleton added smoothly, his voice like oil on troubled waters. On the table for the duration of this meeting only. The alternative is litigation that will last for years and cost you everything you have, and everything you ever will have. Finch looked directly at Thorne, his expression a mixture of challenge and contempt. Do you have anything to add, Mr. Thorne, or are we wasting our time with this pointless theater? The room fell silent. Liam held his breath. This was it, the moment of surrender. Marcus Thorne blinked slowly, as if waking from a pleasant nap. He didn't look at Finch, Pendleton, or Slay. He looked at Liam and Sarah, a faint, almost reassuring calm in his eyes. Then, he reached into his own aged leather briefcase. With painstaking slowness, he took out his spectacles and a pristine white handkerchief. As he had in his office, he began to polish the lenses, each circular motion deliberate in measure. The sound of the cloth against the glass was the only sound in the tense, silent room. Sly stopped twisting his ring. Pendleton's smug smile tightened at the edges. They didn't understand the gesture, but they understood that the rhythm of the meeting had just been broken. They understood that they were no longer in control. Thorne placed the glasses back on his nose, the wirums sitting like a judge's decree on his face. Mr. Finch, Thorne said, his voice a low, gravelly rumble that seemed to make the air vibrate. You have presented a robust case based on your client's interpretation of the events, a signed construction contract, authorized progress payments, a loan agreement. On the surface, it seems quite airtight. Finch nodded, a flicker of uncertainty in his eyes. It is airtight. Indeed, Thorne continued, his voice smooth as aged bourbon. The threats of foreclosure and litigation are well-founded, assuming a standard set of circumstances. There is, however, one small, foundational oversight in your entire strategy. He finally turned his gaze on Sly Vance, and for the first time, Liam saw the contractor flinch. The predators in the cheap suit had just realized he was in a cage with a much larger animal. "You've built a house," Thorne said, his voice deceptively mild. "A poorly constructed, frankly embarrassing house, but a house nonetheless. You've done so under the assumption that you were building it on land that was properly leveraged as collateral for a loan provided to the landowners, who in turn contracted your company." "Get to the point," Sly snarled, his bravado fraying. Thorne ignored him. His hand dipped back into his briefcase and emerged with a single, folded document. It was old, creased paper. He didn't slide it across the table. He stood up, a towering, imposing figure in his old-fashioned suit, and placed it gently in the center of the vast mahogany expanse. It was the original deed to the land. "The point," Marcus Thorne declared, his voice ringing with absolute authority, "is that the construction loan and the contract were made with Liam and Sarah Miller, the individuals. But the deed for the land, the foundational document upon which this entire enterprise rests, is held in the name of the Miller Family Trust, an entity established by Mr. Miller's grandfather years ago, an entity that was never party to your loan and never signed your construction contract." Pendleton's face went from smug to ashen. Finch snatched the deed, his eyes scanning it frantically, his lawyerly composure shattering into sputtering disbelief. "Your bank, Mr. Pendleton, gave a construction loan against a property for which it failed to secure the proper collateral," Thorne stated, his voice dropping to a cold, menacing tone. "And you, Mr. Vance, have built a multiton trespassing structure on land belonging to an entity that has no legal or financial relationship with you whatsoever." He leaned forward, placing his hands flat on the table, his gaze locking onto Sly and Pendleton. The lion of the courtroom had finally let out his roar. "So we can dispense with all this talk of contracts and foreclosures. They are irrelevant. This is now a simple matter of property law. Here is my client's one and only offer." He paused, letting the weight of his words crush them. "Get the house off my client's land." Chaos erupted. "What the hell does he mean?" Fly yelped, his voice cracking. "That's their land. We have the deed." "No, you have a copy of a deed you never properly read." Finch shot back, his face pale with horror and professional shame. "The trust, he's right. The trust isn't the signatory." Pendleton was silent, staring into space, the gears in his mind grinding as he calculated the sheer magnitude of the bank's liability, the curry-renting scope of his own negligence. Liam stared, dumbfounded. He looked at his own grease-stained hands, the hands that had worked so hard to earn this dream, and for the first time in months, they didn't feel like the hands of a victim. Sarah grabbed his arm, her grip like steel, her knuckles white. Her eyes, wide and staring at Marcus Thorne, were no longer filled with fear, but with a terrifying, beautiful awe. The nightmare had just ended. The hunt had just begun. Thorne sat back down, calmly folding his hands. He looked at the panicking men across the table and said, with a voice as quiet as a falling snowflake, "I believe the ball is now in your court.